times in the last few weeks, I don't have to shovel it,
so just let it be hot.
I promised God all winter long I wouldn't complain no matter how hot it got. How many of you have had an opportunity to change your mind about something in the course of your life? Good. You thought one way and now you think something else? That's good. You know, I think one of the most significant changes for me, having been raised in a prejudiced part of the country, is that I have a daughter-in-law who's black. Now, that is a substantial change of mind. It means we're teachable. It means we can embrace an alternative point of view. Now, lots of us have religious mindsets because somebody got to you before I did. Okay? And some of what we have to go through is a deconstruction so there can be a reconstruction. So I'm coming after mindsets as we hang out in the book of Ephesians. Last week when I started this introduction, I was attempting to communicate to you the reality of God's perspective on you. And we looked at the standing that God has for us in Ephesians. In Hebrews. And I'll remind you of this just in passing. The scripture says in Hebrews concerning man, that is, those of us who are humans, that you've made him a little lower than the angels, yet you've crowned him with glory and honor and appointed him, who? Over all the works of your hands. And you have put in subjection under his feet everything. Now that's God's intention for you. Do you think his intention is going to come to pass? But we do not see him in that capacity. But the sons of God are going to rule over everything. So what do we do in the meantime? What we do see right now is Jesus, who for a little while was made a little lower than the angels. So who is it our hope is in now? It's in Christ Jesus. And in Christ Jesus, we have access to an eternal point of view because we have been raised up and are seated with him in heavenly places. And yet here you are sitting on a soft chair. Unless you're in the alcove, you're sitting in a worn out chair. I know, we bought those chairs when we moved in here in 1987. Because they still have a use, that's why. As we take a look at what Paul is trying to communicate to the saints of God, I want you to realize these things are true about you. And if you think other than that, guess who's wrong? That would be you. And it's time for a change of mind. We have access to a heavenly point of view. And I'm going to ask you to do something. Later in chapter 1, Paul prays a prayer on behalf of the saints that I have personally prayed on my own behalf for many, many years. And it sounds something like this. Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. And I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. Now, if you've been with me any length of time, you've heard that passage of Scripture again and again and again. And as long as I got breath and brain, you're going to continue to hear it. Because when we pray this, we're asking God to grant to us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Because if we don't have that, all we have is head knowledge. And head knowledge will do this for you. My soul will compose a message and it will communicate to your soul. And there'll be no spiritual dynamic about it. One soul preaching to the souls of others. Has anybody retired recently? Has it happened yet? It did. Congratulations. Mr. Dixon has retired after faithful service in the United States Navy. I knew it was coming, but the clue was his hair's getting longer. Happens every time. All right, so I want you to pray this after me. Father, I ask you to grant me a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. And I pray that you enlighten the eyes of my heart so that I will know the hope of your calling upon me and the riches of your glorious inheritance in us. Pay attention to that phrase. His glorious inheritance in you. Now that makes you somebody. I don't care what your mom or dad said to you. God, your Father, says you are His rich inheritance. I know that's hard to hear because you'd rather believe the lie you grew up with. But I'm coming after the lies. Now, from the eternal point of view, let's let the Scripture challenge any stronghold or mindset that you have that denies your value to your Heavenly Father. I'm going to ask you to do something, and it's very, very simple, and it's not a religious act. I know that there are places, and I've been in them, and it's never really connected with me. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Any of you ever been in those places? What is that all about? Is it some kind of respect? It's just to make sure you're awake. Anybody sleeping, please stand up. I'm going to ask you to stand up and read some Scripture too, but I'm doing it for a very particular purpose. If you're able to stand, I want you to stand because I want you to pay attention to the words you're going to read. Because we're going to spend some time in Ephesians chapter 1, the first 14 verses, and I want us to read them together. So if they're up there, in the NIV, any second. There they are. Is that the New International Version? Good? Wonderful. All right. We're going to read these together. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. That's the pace, so follow me. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the point was to have you say it out loud, beginning in verse 3. Praise be to God, Lord Jesus Christ. I'm listening. God. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with the pleasure will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ to be when the times will have reached their full, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In Him we're all, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purposes of His will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of His glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of His glory. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, we weren't going to read 15, be seated. Now, boy, do we need some practice. All right, how many of you have read the Bible this week? Come on, you just read it. You've all read it this week. You can all score 100 today. Come on. All right, now we read it. Now what I want to do is look at it. Because when we read words, we read right over what they're telling us about. Okay? So reading the Bible is helpful in this regard. You get to check off your I read the Bible this week. But looking at the text is something a lot more intriguing. So I'm going to walk us through a series of slides and emphasize some points that you just uttered without connecting with them. All right? For instance, in the opening, there's something I want you to notice. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from whom? God, our Father. Now, who do you see God as? Is He that distant voice behind the dark clouds and there's always thunder and lightning? See, some of us have poor father images, but we've addressed that on numerous occasions. I won't go there now, but I want you to note that when we talk about God, we're talking about our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ in relationship to the Father? You cannot get away from the Father-Son template in the Scriptures. You just can't get away from it. And once your eyes are open to it, you will see it everywhere. So when we talk about the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the next phrase, of whom are we speaking? We're speaking about our Father and our elder brother. Now, how is that relevant to us? Well, we'll get to that. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is a typical Jewish form of eulogy. Now, let's take a look at verse 3, because I want you to notice the Father's action. What has the Father done? He has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. What does that mean? I have no idea, but I know it's true. Now, every spiritual blessing in Christ. Every spiritual blessing from where? From the realm of the Spirit. So we have access to things you've not yet investigated. There's an occasion where Paul is trying to bring some correction to the church of Corinth, and he says, I pray in tongues more than you all. In another occasion, he says, praying in the Spirit continually. Does Paul have revelation? Where do you think he got it? Where do you think he got it? Listen, if you're not praying in tongues in your personal devotional life and asking God to show you stuff, then you're missing out on one of the premier spiritual blessings in Christ. It is your access to the eternal realm. Well, I don't believe we should be speaking in tongues. Then you are in the wrong congregation. For He chose us in Him. How many of you have been in the incredibly shrinking circle of somebody picking teams? And you've said, oh, please pick me. Please pick me. Don't make me less. Please pick me. Okay? I was the skinny kid that always got picked. Oh, I didn't get picked. One captain told the other captain, you have to take him. Why do I remember that? Because it is emotionally scarring. Okay? We could do it another way. We could just put numbers and give everybody a number, but that way you can pick the winning team and you'll want to win, right? Remember when we used to want to win and keep score back before we were afraid we might offend somebody's self-esteem? I got news for you. Life don't care about your self-esteem, okay? But the Father does, because He chose us in Christ before the creation of the world. How long ago was Daddy thinking about you? Don't you wish you believed that? That God had you in mind before there was ever anything? Who are you going to believe? Now, don't stumble over the next part. To be holy and blameless in His sight. Because how many of you know you're not holy? If you raised your hand, you answered incorrectly. Because in Christ Jesus, you are holy and blameless. Let's get something straight. If you think coming to Christ and staying in Christ is going to be a function of your will, you don't understand this game. Because you need keeping, and you can't keep you. How many of you know that? Okay, you can't keep you. So He has to keep you. Where does He keep you? He keeps you in Christ. I'm listening for a crack in your mindset. Let's go on to more of the Father's action. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons. The love that He had before the foundation of the world said in Him, I'm going to have them for me. He predestined you to be His Son. Remember, ladies, He's the Father of our spirits. He's the creator of our gender. It's not chauvinistic to say that you're a son of God because your spirit is what your Father has brought forth again in life. He predestined you to be His.
How many of you thought you found Jesus?
He wasn't hiding. You were the one clothed in darkness. He found you. He predestined you to be adopted as His sons through Christ Jesus. Once you come into Christ, you are in. You understand in? Not out. Not one foot in. We're not doing the hokey pokey with Jesus. We are in. So they still do that, huh? Okay. Now, why would He do that? For His own good pleasure and to bring to pass His predetermined will. Now, if His pleasure is to have you, then why do you beat you up so often? Daniel said to you, as He's blessing children, say this with me, I am beautiful. I travel the world. I really do. I pass through all kinds of countries and people. I'm here to tell you, there ain't that many beautiful people on this planet. There's a hand-picked few, and they're on television to make all the rest of us feel inferior. But God's good pleasure and His predetermined will is that you would belong to Him. I'm waiting. I'm watching your faces. Some of you get it. Some of you are crinkling your brow. To the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. Who's the one He loves? And all who are in Christ have had His grace lavished upon them. Grace has many facets we'll talk about some other occasion. But let's look at the Son's action here in verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace, which He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. I don't know if you're aware of this, but common sense has become incredibly rare. You can't even call it common anymore. Because everywhere I look, there's this insane thinking being paraded as wisdom and understanding. You know, I've got to the point I can't even watch these talking heads interviewing with one another because nobody listens anymore. They shout over one another to make their point. And it's just infuriating. Because if we can't communicate, we can't bring resolution. And communication is not standing outside with a placard screaming at the top of your lungs. That's not communication. But there is, in the body of Christ, something called wisdom and understanding. And it's my goal that we would acquire some measure of wisdom and understanding. Now, I've been researching something recently. Probably I'll not bring this up, but you know me, I'm good at getting in trouble. Any of you been following this bakery thing out in Oregon? You know, all the hyperbole around this stuff has just been inflammatory to make headlines. There's a very simple issue going on there. That couple broke the law of Oregon. It's got nothing to do with religious freedom. They broke state law. And now you've got all these others screaming about the Constitution and the First Amendment and the 14th Amendment, all this kind of thing. Read the cotton picking case and take a look at it. Anybody read the report? I'm the only one? Okay. Then whatever your opinion is about how awful things are going, how anti, you don't know what you're talking about because you haven't done your homework. Aren't you glad you came? We can't be empty voices with a lot of volume. There is wisdom and understanding available to God's people. I told you guys recently about this attorney I met over in another country. One of the most winning attorneys in the major capital city there. And he was quick to tell me, but all I do is I study the case and then I ask my Heavenly Father, what am I to do? And He shows me what to do, and I do it, and I win. I just got an email this week that his boss unceremoniously left the country, immigrated to another country, and left him in charge of the entire law firm. Now we have a born-again, humble, winning attorney running the whole show. How many of you know what God's activity looks like? Okay. As unlikely a fellow as you would ever think to be a winning attorney. None of this Hollywood slick six-figure guy stuff. He makes $25 a month if he gets paid. We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, which He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Now, there is a grace that attends you that you can access through the Holy Spirit. And He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and earth under one rule, the rule of Jesus Christ. To bring all things in heaven and earth. Are you in heaven or in earth? The correct answer is yes. Because you're seated with Him in heavenly places. The body of Christ is on the earth, the head is there, but we have an eternal perspective of what's going on around us if we would just pause to ask for wisdom and understanding. You need to be asking, Lord, what am I looking at? Because if you don't, you're simply going to respond out of your soul. And there won't be anybody in the room who can address what's really going on until we start asking for discernment. Now, the Father's action in verse 11 is that in Christ we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works everything for the conformity to His will. Do you have any idea why God puts you through what He puts you through? Just bow your knee and get it over with. Because He intends for us to be conformed to His will. The life I live is not the life I chose for me. Do you understand that? This is not what I, Lanny, would be doing with my life. But Jesus foisted Himself upon me with irresistible grace, and I said yes.
Now, how many of you young people, any people your age supposed to be retired?
You finally quit asking me because I told you to quit asking me that question. Instead, I'm plowing new ground to bring a nation into the kingdom. And it is not easy work, I'm telling you. But God intends to conform that place to His will. And He is going to have His intention. It might not be in my lifetime, but I promise you this, what God says He's going to do is going to be accomplished because He will not change His mind about it. He has predestined this stuff. History has a conclusion, and He knows how to get us there. Everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be the praise. What might we be? We might be for the praise of His glory.
Zed, my boy, did you know you were the glory of God?
You did. Now there's a boy that's been listening for the 2.5 years he's been saved. Does it ever occur to you that you're the glory of God on display? If this becomes your mindset, it will change your behavior. Not because of a rule. Not because of rules. Because you have a disposition to fully express your Father's presentation through you. You know, it'd be a whole lot easier if I just preach rules. It would be, because you'd obey the rules on Sunday morning. And you'd be condemned about breaking the rules the rest of the week. That's why I don't preach rules. They don't work. What works is love of God. Because you won't sin against, willfully sin against the one you love. And when He comes after your little stinky attitude that you didn't know was a stinky attitude... How many of you have had an attitude check this week? Don't you just hate that? All it says is, we really do need a Savior. One who can keep us, because we cannot keep us. That we might be for the praise of His glory. Now look at this. And in you also, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. What was the gospel of your salvation? How many of you came to Christ in a church meeting? Let me put my glasses on. One hand. What? Two hands. You came to three, four, five. Kind of a church meeting. Wasn't a real bona fide church meeting. Okay. How many of you came to Christ outside of church? Look at that. How many of you, put them back, how many came to Christ because a human being shared the gospel with you? Lots of you, okay. How many of you came to Christ because a particular song stirred your heart? One, two, three, four. How many of you came to Christ because you watched a movie? I have a brother-in-law who came to Christ watching The Robe. Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton. Didn't know they were evangelists, did you? The point is, the gospel of your salvation is not necessarily the gospel of the one next to you. Because the Lord will speak in any way He chooses to reach the target of His affection in a language they will understand. One of my friends came to the Lord listening to the Eagles singing, "Take Me to the Limit One More Time." He knew Christ was speaking to him. The gospel of your salvation is the moment where you say to the Lord Jesus Christ, "My plan's not working. Can we start over?" However your heart says that. It's not, you know, read these words. "Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I'm sorry for my sin. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. And come into my heart, make me a new creature, and you be my Lord and Savior. Amen. Now I'm saved." It's not the words. Finney made that stuff up to help people know what to say. But God looks at the heart. If it was words, no deaf mute could ever be saved. Hello, let's think. God looks on the heart. But the gospel of salvation most of us received had to do with going to Jesus, going to heaven when you die. But reconciliation is about you putting your Father on display and Him living through you in a way that makes you different from the people around you. Not
sanctified and sourpussed, holy, the different.
You just have hope in you all the time. Has anybody ever asked you, how can you be so cheerful when the world's going the way it's going? Anybody ever ask you that? How can you be cheerful?
Because I've got this round bottom clown named Jesus in me, and every time you knock him down, he stands back up.
There's a resilience in us. We have a hope beyond the mess we're looking at, people. Christ is coming back, and when He gets here, He's going to undo some of this mess. And we've made a mess. Apparently, it's going to take about 1,000 years for Him to undo it. But He is going to do exactly what God intended His Son to do. He's going to take dominion, and He's going to rule. And if you're in Him, you're going to be in dominion and ruling with Him, just as you were ordained before the creation of the world. So you may as well practice now. I'm practicing so I don't have to rule over Alabama. I've made it clear He can send me most any place but there. I escaped. You were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal. No. What is a seal? There we go. The one thing you're going to remember from this message. What y'all hear on Sunday? You were marked with a seal. It's the indication.
Yeah, go ahead. You want this job?
You're marked with a seal, the Holy Spirit. It's the testimony of whose authority has sealed your life in Him. Okay? The promised Holy Spirit. What's He called here? What's He called here? He is the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. I'm not very experienced with pawn shops. I have been in a couple earlier in life to see what they had that I might want. But I do know, at least I think I understand it, you take something of value to them and they give you money and you get a ticket of some kind. And if you come back within a certain period of time with the money plus the interest on the money, you can get your possession back. Is that how it works? Okie dokie. Redemption is like the pawn shop ticket that God holds. Something of value to Him, His possession, is held in the grip of another. And he sends Jesus Christ to pay the price to get his possession back. Because we were always intended, we were predestined to be adopted as his sons. But we were separated by sin, living under the dominion of Satan and in darkness. And he sent Jesus into that situation to pay the price that would legitimately reclaim his possession. So you've been brought out of the pawn shop back into the treasure house of the one who placed extreme value on you to himself. And he put his spirit in you so that you will never go back into the pawn shop. You will always be his possession. I'm not a Calvinist. My mind refuses to accept some of those mental gymnastics. I don't make a good Arminian, and neither of those mean much to any of you. But here's what I know. That God will not undo what he has done for me. And if I can't keep myself, I also can't escape by myself. I am secure in the confidence that the seal that's in me is the guarantee of my redemption, however this life sorts itself out. I don't live in fear that I might do something and he'll take away his grace. I'm not living in that fear-based theology. I have confidence in God that he is able to keep what I have committed to him and I have committed me to him. Well, there's a lot more to be said about that, but I don't think I'll say it today. Let's do this instead. Let's suppose,
just for grins,
let's suppose the Bible's true.
Oh, you got to be kidding.
Y'all may not know this, but I have watched hundreds and hundreds of hours of stand-up comedians. For two reasons. A spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. I'll tell you a joke, you go, ha ha ha, and I go, psh. But the other is the fact that they can eyeball life from a different point of view and help you understand what's going on in the culture. Because if they're not in touch with the culture, they're not successful as comedians. Okay? I was watching one not long ago that I can't recommend, but he went after Christians. And he said this, "Now look, I'm glad you folks have found a book you like." And in that statement, dismissed everything the book has to say. Okay? But I got news for you. Not one jot or tittle of this shall pass away until it all comes to fulfillment. Now, if you happen to be living out there in that culture and you question the authority of God, then you don't have a firm place to stand. You understand what I'm saying? That sets you up to be tossed to and fro by every wind of change that comes because you have no firm foundation in you and your thinking is stinking thinking. You've got to make some decisions about what you're going to believe. If the Word of God is in fact true, then what it says is going to come to pass. If you decide you want to be on his team, there's some things you need to do. First of all, you need to recognize and get over this. God is not mad at you. On your worst day, God has never been mad at you. I don't care what preacher tried to preach you into hell and back. God has never been mad at you. You were predestined to be his son. His finger's not pointing. His arms are open. God is not mad at you. Say it. God is not mad at me. Now, if you don't believe that, call yourself a liar. Because God is not mad at you. He is not mad at anybody. He sent His Son to die for all of us. Now, there are some confused us's out here. Seriously confused. But He is still not mad at them just because they're confused. Now, if you accept that He's not mad at you, that He's predestined you, then you have to make a decision whether or not you're going to come home to your Father. Because you are not lost and on your way to hell. You are lost from your family. And there's a family of God to be restored to through Jesus Christ. And once you come into Christ, presto, you've got Daddy's seal on your life. Now, is He going to make some moments uncomfortable for you?
Oh, yeah.
Because He intends to conform you to His will and His purpose. You were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. It's the sin culture into which we're born that separates us. Self-promotion, self-provision, self-protection, that's the sin culture. It's the culture of the spiritual orphan. It's where we all start, but we don't have to end up there. Because the death and resurrection of Jesus is your ticket out of the pawn shop back to the one who says you are His prized possession. Now, where do we get the mumbles from? The mumbles, yeah. Paul said, mumble this, that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. For with the heart believes, but with the mouth confession is made. So what do we say? Lord Jesus, I know I'm a... You say whatever your heart says. If you need to be restored to God, you just say what your heart says. And how many of you known somebody who said, now, God, I don't know if I believe all this stuff. But if it's real, and you're real, and this story's real, then you make it real to me. Any of you ever said that personally? Well, here you are. He made it real, didn't He? See, He'll take you wherever you are, but He will not leave you where you are. Praise be to God for that. I'd still be in Alabama. Now, the challenge comes after you say that. Because the challenge is God intends you to become aligned with His agenda in the earth. He intends for you to be aligned with His agenda in your part of the earth. What's your part? It's the very particular place you walk. Because you carry a presence, you carry a hope, you carry a testimony of grace. You are something on display, His prized possession. So you can't be like the rest of them. If there's no distinction, how are they going to know there's a hope? Okay? And that doesn't mean hanging something in your cubicle or, well, you know, Jesus wouldn't talk like that. Shut up. Quit being a rule-making religious person. Can't you just be a human who loves God? Is it possible that you might actually care for that hard-headed person sitting across the desk from you? As obstinate as they are, as anti-everything about you that they are, is it possible you could find God's nature of love in you for them? The answer is yes. Where's the problem? Right here. Here's the problem. Next Sunday, I'm going to bring a lightsaber and fix that problem. Oh, if it were only that easy. We have to align ourselves with the Father's intention. My last statement is this. In verse 6, verse 12, and verse 14, our participation in the redemption the Father offers is to the praise of His glory. You represent His glory. I've called this series The Alternative Thinking in Ephesians. What's the thinking the alternative to? Your thinking. Because Paul is presenting a kingdom construct that's going to go right down through the family. All predicated on being filled with the Spirit of God. I asked somebody recently, The Lord showed me a little picture, and I asked him, what is it the Lord asked you to do that you have not done? And he knew immediately what it was. So let me ask you, what is it the Lord asked of you that was intended to align you with His purpose through you that you have not done? How many of you can think of something? God asked you, and you haven't done it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Who'll give me 20? There's 20. Who'll give me 21? 21. Who'll give me 22? 22. How many times have I got to ask us, who's left? All right. Where do you need to start? Those 22 of you, where do you need to start? If you know Father asked it of you and you said no, then go in the field anyway. Which one did the will of his Father? The one who said, yes, I'll go and did it, or the one who said no, and then he went and did it? You told him no. You know what he wants. And he's not going to change his mind. Command, obedience, understanding. Every time I obey the command, it releases grace so that my understanding comes forward. God intends for us to be aligned with His purposes in your world. Would you stand? It is never too late to say, Father, I disobeyed, but I'm ready to obey. And let the grace of your Father be released in your obedience. So as you're doing business with the Lord in your heart where you're standing, be thinking about this. What is it He has asked me to do that I have yet to do? Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I thank you so much for your faithfulness to the Word of God and for your continued activity in the lives of those who are in Christ Jesus. And we're not always a willing people, Lord, but we're always your people. Today, you have confronted us with the reality that we need to be aligned with the eternal predestined intention of the Father for us and our times and boundaries. And there are 22 of them who have said, Lord, I didn't do what you asked me to do. Now I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to release the irresistible grace of God to those who are saying, but I'm willing now to obey you. And let us hear of the wonderful testimonies of your grace released as we do what you have asked us to do. If there are those here, Lord, who need to be reconciled to the Father, they have never heard it quite like this. I ask you, as you look at their heart and they offer their heart to you, save them where they stand. Renew them in mind and spirit this very day. And let them begin this wonderfully exciting, exhilarating, troubled life called Christianity. Let us, Lord, be conformed to your image more and more. In Jesus' name, I ask it with expectancy. Amen. We would be very interested in hearing the testimony.